Amen. Again, it's good to see you this morning. In our trek through the book of James, we are focusing this morning on James chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Throughout the book, James is speaking towards living out our faith in a manner that demonstrates a genuine saving faith in Christ, a faith in Christ that has brought a salvation where we can say that we are truly born again, where we have come to life spiritually, where we are no longer dead in our sin, but we are now made alive to God. And when that is true, then there is going to be life change. That's James's premise throughout the book, is that when there is genuine salvation, you are not going to remain the same. You will begin to reflect your new life in Christ. You will begin to reflect who you are as a child of God, as a son of God, as a daughter of God. You will begin to think differently and live differently and view life from a completely different perspective. I told you a couple of weeks ago that becoming a Christian is a lot like being sprayed by a skunk. When it happens, you know it. Right? There's no, well, I'm not sure. There is a definitive something is different about me. There's a different smell about me. There's a different aura about me. And then not only do you know that, but everyone around you knows it as well. Right? You walk into a room and there's immediately a definitive difference about you. And people know that there is something that sets you apart from everyone else. And that is what James is speaking towards, is that when we have this faith in Christ, then living out that faith is going to be demonstrated in how we live, how we conduct ourselves, and the things that we do. Now, Jesus says that being a Christian is like being a lamp that has been put on a lampstand. In Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 22, Jesus says, "A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, or it's not brought to be put under a bed. Is it not brought to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden," Jesus says, "except that it will be revealed, nor has anything been done in secret that it will not come to light." And his point is that who we are in Christ, we are lamps that are put on a lampstand, and the light of Christ, the very light of the world that is Jesus in us, is going to shine. And that we're not going to be able to hide our faith. We're not going to be able to keep it secret if that faith is genuine, if it's real, that the light itself will shine. It will shine brightly so that people will begin to see there is a light source in his life or in her life that is different than what we see or know or recognize in the darkness and the world around us. And that's to James's point. You're not going to be able to hide your faith if it's genuine, if it's real. You're going to live it out. You guys remember Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Right? My favorite Christmas every year is Rudolph. And Rudolph, he didn't like his nose glowing, and so or his dad didn't like it. I think is his dad Donner, maybe, didn't like it. So he tries to hide it, right? He puts some clay on it or whatever and tries to hide it. But guess what? The light could not be hidden, and it was going to shine. It was going to glow so that everyone knows that Rudolph was a red-nosed reindeer. Well, that's James's point. Everyone is going to know that you have put your faith in Christ because the light of Christ in you will not stay dim. It's going to shine bright. And so James speaks toward this very thing in a lot of different ways. But here in chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, James is going to pick up on an area that he's already touched on a lot of different times. He's going to pick up on an area that James says is going to be definitively different about us when we are living out our faith in Christ. And it's the area of our speech. It's the area of our tongue. Out of all five chapters of James, the one area that he touches on in every single chapter is our speech. Now, do you think that's coincidence? You think that maybe James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he is writing this book, wants us to understand that if we are going to be the children of God that we have been called to be through faith in Christ, if we're going to image forth, if we're going to reflect to the world the very light of Christ, and that light is going to shine bright, then one of the main ways, one of the key ways, one of the primary ways that we're going to do that is through the use of our tongue, through the use of our speech, through what we are saying and through what we are doing with our mouth. And so James hits on this again, and he's going to hone in on a specific area of our speech here in verses 11 through 12 that he says is going to once again reveal our faith or speak to our faith or perhaps speak against it. And so faith revealed in your speech is how your outline starts this morning if you want to follow and take notes. Faith revealed in your speech. And here's what he says in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? And in these verses, James says that there are two ways that our speech is going to speak against our faith. So that's A there on your outline. Two ways that our speech speaks against our faith rather than for our faith. And the first way is when we speak disparagingly of others. In verse 11, right at the beginning, he says, do not speak against one another, brethren. So he is specifically telling us that one of the things that we are not to do as believers, by the way, this is a command. This is a command to follow. He writes this in the imperative. In the Greek, it's in the imperative form, means this is a command. This is not a suggestion. This is not this would be a nice way for you to live if you want to represent Jesus. Well, this is the way that you will live if you are going to live out your faith. That's what he said. This is a command to follow. And the command is very clear. It's very forthright. He doesn't beat around the bush. He's not vague. He's not left us for us wondering what he's trying to say. He just very simply says, do not speak against one another. The Greek word translated speak against is the Greek word kataleo. And it means just that, to speak against or to speak down to or to speak evil of or to speak negatively against. And that's the idea of the word is when we speak negatively in a way that is meant to harm someone or to run someone down. Now the word sometimes, the Greek word kataleo, can sometimes be translated slander. And we all know what slander is, right? Slander is speaking against someone in a way that is completely untrue. We speak against someone and it's totally unfounded. It's totally untrue. And maybe we just hear a rumor about someone and we just pass it along and we have no idea whether it's true or false, but we're just going to pass it along for the sake of passing along. Or maybe we want to really hurt someone. We have a vendetta against somebody and so we're going to make something up. We're going to make some lie up about them that we know is going to hurt them, that's going to defame them, that's going to in some way mar their reputation. That's part of what kataleo means. But the reason why I think a good translation that the New American Standard gives, and it doesn't use the word slander in English, but it just says speak against, do not speak against one another, is because it can also mean taking that which is true. So it's not false, it's not a lie, it's taking a truth and it is passing that truth along to others in a negative way or in a way that is meant to hurt them, that is meant to harm them, that is meant to disparage them. So I put on your outline, the heart of what James is getting at here is speaking against others, including any talk Whether that is true or false, that is meant to tear down rather than build up. The command we are given here forbids any speech, whether that is true or false, to be used against another in a way that will run them down or in a way that will hurt them or harm them. And it's certainly easy to understand why slander is wrong. I think we could all get around that, right? We can all back that up and we can all say, yes, we agree that it is completely out of bounds, completely outside of the will of God. It's completely contrary to who we want to be as believers to make up lies and to spread those lies or to pass those lies along as if they were true. And that is certainly immoral, and that's certainly part of what James means when he says speak against one another. But it's the other side of the command that I think most of us have a little more difficult time with. It's a little harder for us to wrap our minds around this idea of speaking against a brother or a sister, another person, because most of us think that it is okay to convey negative information or say negative things about someone as long as it is true. Amen? And as long as we're speaking truth, then it's okay. James says it's not. It's not okay to do that. It's not okay to pass along negative information if the only reason you're passing along that negative information is to hurt them or harm them or to make them look less in the eyes of whoever it is you're sharing that information with. If, in other words, there is no redeeming value in someone else knowing that information, and the only reason you're passing it along is to make something negative known about them that will in some way hurt them, harm them, make them look less in the eyes of others, then James says, you're wrong. That's not to be who we are as believers in Christ. That's not to be an expression of our faith. And a lot of times we couch this negative talk about someone with statements like, well, I'm only speaking the truth. And so again, we justify, well, I'm just speaking the truth, so it's okay to do that. James says, no, it's not. Sometimes we couch it with, I probably shouldn't say this, but because it's true, I'm going to go ahead and say it. And again, James says, no, you shouldn't. Do not is the command that is given to us. Or my personal favorite, and this is, I guess, more of a southern thing that we sometimes do. It's amazing how we can say something negative about somebody, but if we attach on to the end, bless their heart, then it's okay. And you hear that all the time, right? She is the laziest person I've ever met. Bless her heart. He is the most mean-spirited man I've ever known. Bless his heart. And we'll just say something negative, but we'll attach to the end, bless his heart, as if that's the cure-all to make it okay. Well, we've just covered ourselves because we really want their heart to be blessed. And James says, no, that is not who we need to be as believers. That's not how we need to be using our speech or using our tongue. There is no redeeming reason for sharing negative information if it is only going to be used to hurt or belittle or disparage another. When we speak against someone in a disparaging way, we're not allowing our tongue to be used in a manner that James says speaks to our faith. Other places in Scripture speak to this same thing. I referenced a few places there for you. Psalm chapter 50, verse 16. And then Psalm chapter 50, verse 20. God is speaking here, and he's speaking of the wicked. And in verse 16, he starts by saying, but the wicked, or to the wicked, God says. And then he lists the whole thing. Different things. And verse 20 of chapter 50 there in Psalms says, but to the wicked God says, you sit and you speak against your brother. In other words, God is saying that's an action that the wicked participate in, not the action of the righteous, where they speak against one another. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. I think your outline actually says Proverbs 16, but that was just a typo on my part. It should be chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. This is what it says. There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him. So these are all things that are not to be of the people of God, because God does not like these things. God hates these things. They're an abomination to him. He says, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives or desires or devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. So there it is. The very last thing that is listed there is those who spread strife. That's exactly what James is talking about. Those who speak against one another for one purpose, and that is to create havoc or to create turmoil or to create conflict within the body of Christ, amongst the family of God or within the church. And there is no reason for you to spread this strife. There's no reason for you to spread this information or speak against this person in a way that is helpful to them or to the body of Christ. We speak negatively about a brother or sister in Christ for the purpose to run them down or to spread strife. God says, that is not who I want my people to be. And it doesn't speak to our faith in Christ, but against our faith in Christ. It doesn't allow the light of Christ to shine brightly, but it dims the light of Christ in shining it the way he wants it to shine. Ephesians 4:29 gives us how we need to speak, how we need to use our tongue. Look what Ephesians 4:29 says. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So let no unwholesome word come from your mouth. In other words, only speak words that are going to edify, that are going to build up, that are going to give grace to those who hear, that are going to benefit rather than harm. The mark of a believer is when we use our words to build up rather than to tear down. So the next time we're going about speaking negatively, maybe we need to stop. Maybe we need to do what James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 19, when he says, be slow to speak. And so maybe instead of being so quick to speak, we need to just take a moment and stop and say, what is my purpose and what I'm about to share? What do I hope to accomplish by conveying or passing along this information? What good will come from it? If it has no redeeming value to it other than to simply disparage them or run them down or hurt them in some way, even if it's true, maybe we ought to just keep it to ourselves. A second way that our speech speaks against our faith, according to James, is when we judge others in a critical way that is meant to, once again, harm rather than help. And so there in verse 11, James, once again, he says, we are not to speak against one another, brethren, because then he says, he who speaks against a brother or judges his brother. And James is using the word judge here in a way that we pass judgment on someone and we make a decision about a person in a negative way that condemns them, and that is unwarranted or it's unfounded. It's really not based on truth. It's just based on assumptions, maybe on our part. It's done without really knowing all the facts. It's not founded on truth. It's not founded on reality. It's being judgmental in the sense that we are putting our place or ourselves in the place of God as we're trying to judge their thoughts and judge their intentions and judge their motives. And this is the kind of judgment that Jesus himself speaks against in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, when he says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, Jesus says, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And it's when we pass judgment on others in such a way that we exalt self, or that we refuse to look at self, and we're more focused on fixing others' problems or pointing out their discrepancies or their shortcomings or their failures. And again, it's for the purpose of really not helping them, but for the purpose of harming them or for the purpose of putting them down or condemning them rather than building them up, that Jesus and James says, this is not to be who we are as Christ followers. Now, I put a special note on your outline. This does not mean that we can't confront sin. It does not mean that we can't speak the truth in love towards a brother or a sister who is sinning. As a matter of fact, we are instructed in Scripture to do so. And it all has to do with intent. It all has to do with what is the intent? Is it being done in love and with the intent to help rather than harm? I listed several places where we are told that we need to make decisions and make judgments based on the actions of others and be wise in that judgment. But maybe the clearest place is in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, where Jesus tells us, here's how you need to handle confronting sin and not playing the role of judge, but doing it in a manner that is biblical, that is with the right intent, that is with a heart of love, that is with a heart that wants to build up rather than tear down. And this is what he says. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault. How? In what? In private. So if I go, and let me just use Steve here as an example, our famous drummer right here on the front row. But if I know that Steve is doing something or acting in a way that maybe I feel like is wrong, or maybe I've just heard about something that he's done, or maybe I've witnessed something that he's done, and I go over here to Craig, and I say, hey, Craig, did you hear that Steve is doing? Now, have I just violated point blank what Jesus tells me to do in this verse? Because how does Jesus tell me to handle that? Do I need to go to Craig and say, hey, Craig, did you hear what Stephen is doing? Or did you hear I heard this? Or I watched this? Or I saw this? Or this is how he's behaving? Or this is what he's doing? Or did you hear what he said? Or did you see how he acted in this? How do I need to go privately and deal with him and say, this is something that is concerning me, where your behavior is or what's going on? And we handle it that way. And then if that doesn't work, then he says in verse 16, but if he does not listen to you, then take one or two more with you. Take some witnesses with you. Take a couple of people, a couple of entrusted people from the church with you that can help you maybe deal with this issue with him. And that is not going to be other people that you know are going to turn around and go gossip about it or talk about it, but they're going to handle it privately as well. And then if that doesn't work, it says, then if he refuses to listen, you go to the church. And then if he refuses to listen even to the church, you let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And so there are moments where we as a church need to confront sin. And it's not done in a judgmental way. It's not done in a way that is outside of the bounds of Scripture, but it's done inside of the bounds of Scripture. But it's always done in love, and it's always done with the intent to help rather than harm, to build up rather than tear down. And so James gives reasons why disparaging comments and unwarranted judgment towards others speaks against our faith. And that's be on your outline. Here are two reasons why James says we shouldn't do this, why he commands us to stay away from this. Don't allow your tongue to fall into this sinful behavior. And the first reason he gives is because when you speak negatively and critically and you pass judgments that are unwarranted, rather than living in submission to God's truth, you're living in violation of it. When we do this, we're not submitting ourselves to the lordship of God. We're not submitting ourselves to the truth of God's word, but we are living in violation of it. And living in violation of God's truth, living in violation of God's word, again, does not speak to our faith. It speaks against our faith. Because as believers, we want to be submitted to the lordship of Christ. We want to be able to say, Jesus, you are Lord. And by definition, as my Lord, that means I'm under your authority and I want to follow what you tell me to say and I want to be obedient to you. I want to give my life to you in a way that is expressed in obedience. In verse 11 there of James 4 at the very end, he says, he who speaks against a brother or judges his brother is speaking against the law, and he's judging the law. And the law that James is referring to is the law of God, the law of Scripture. It's the truth. It's the commands that God has given to us in His Word. And they're all summed up in one word. Love. The entirety of God's commands are summed up by love. The entirety, everything that we have in Scripture, you can sum it up. Jesus did this in Matthew chapter 22 when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment in all of the law? So he says, you take the whole Old Testament. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, you can sum it all up this way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That is the greatest and the foremost commandment, is to love God. And then in the second, as like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. And so when you bite and devour one another with your words and with your critical judgments, you are in violation of God's truth. And that's exactly what we do when we speak against one another. And so be there in your outline. It says, when you bite and devour one another with your words, with critical judgments or unwarranted judgments, you are in violation of God's truth. Paul speaks about this very thing to the Galatian church, Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, when he says, for you were called for freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. There it is. Through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. And he says that is exactly what biting, devouring, speaking against one another does. You consume one another and you do not allow each other to prosper and grow in the Lord, but you harm each other. And then rather than being an example of God's love, see there on your outline, harsh words and a critical spirit are going to speak against that love. And so James says, don't do it. Jesus said in John 13, all of the world will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Well, one of the ways that we are going to express that love is with our speech and with the way that we build up rather than tear down. We're not going to speak against one another. We're going to speak in ways that are going to help build each other up. And then the second reason why disparaging comments and the judgmental spirit is going to speak against our faith rather than for our faith is number two there, is because when you do so, you exalt yourself both above God and His Word. You exalt yourself above both God and His Word is what James says. He says, if you judge the law, then you're not a doer of the law anymore and you become a judge of it. And there's only one lawgiver, there's only one judge. That's the one who's able to save and destroy. That's God. That's why God is in charge of the salvation of men, not us. Because only God can look at the heart. We can't look at the heart. We make very poor judges when we start judging people's motives and intentions because we can't see the heart. Only God can see the heart. Only God can know the true intentions, the true thoughts, the true motive behind what we're doing. And when we place ourselves above God's law, then we seek to remove ourselves from being accountable to God. That's only what we're doing. We're saying, God, this law doesn't apply to me. The law of love, I can bite, I can devour, I can say disparaging things, I can judge people in ways that I shouldn't judge them. And what we're doing when we say is this, God, I'm not accountable to you as the ultimate judge, as the ultimate lawgiver. And that's why James says, who are you who judge your neighbor? Because we're not God. We are not above God. We want to be under God's order. To do so is to exalt self. I referenced Isaiah chapter 14, where Satan is saying this. And listen to all the I will. Satan says, I will ascend to heaven, and I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. And so when we exalt self, we are putting ourselves more in Satan's camp than we are in God's camp, where humility is the call of God on His people. And I put lastly, be there. Only God has the rightful authority to judge the souls of men, because only God knows the heart of men. And I listed several verses for you there. Every one of those verses speaks to God knows the heart. We don't understand that. So we need to remove ourselves from being judge and say, God, that's you. You can use me and how you want to use me to help correct, to help build up, to help promote and advance your kingdom. But please help me, God, not to be used to exalt myself in a way that is judgmental or in a way that is disparaging and that tears down rather than builds up. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. I'll just close with that verse. It says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Only God is capable of knowing the heart of man. And so James says, don't speak against a brother and don't judge a brother. Our job as believers is to live the kind of lives that we use with our speech to build up and to help and to fix and to advance the kingdom of God rather than hurt the kingdom of God. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would help us in this critical area. And I know, Father, that we need to confess that we have so fallen short in this area. And that we have, and when I say we, Lord, I include myself in that, certainly, that we have spoken against brothers in ways that we should never have done. We've spoken against sisters in ways that we should never have done. We've said things with our mouth that does not allow the light of who you are to shine brightly in us. We've exalted ourselves at times as judges, judging the thoughts or the intents and the motives in ways that are meant to condemn rather than ways that were meant to be helpful and to be that which builds up. And so we confess that and we repent of that. And we pray that as believers in Christ, God, you would help us to take our speech and bring it under your full lordship and under your full authority so that only words that proceed from our mouth are words that build up rather than tear down. And we'll give you all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.